Welcome to the Hero Hub podcast, where we explore the journeys of the industry innovators, trailblazers, and game changers who are shaping the future of vehicles and equipment. Whether you're here for cutting-edge tech, business strategies, or simple love of the ride, this is where you'll find the inspiration to fuel your journey.
My name is Jared Dowdy. I am the VP of Sales, Strategic Partnerships, Marketing, you name it, at Transax. Been there for just over a year. Prior to that, I was with Harley Davidson, the motor company, for a while. And prior to that, all automotive. Spent some time on the OEM side, but I've actually spent time in dealership, running dealerships, did everything from wash cars to run the dealership. So I've been there, done that, walked a mile in your shoes. So I understand what you're going through right now.
Good to have you on, Jared. Excited to talk about Transax and some of your thoughts about what dealerships can do, how they can improve. When you walk into a dealership that's selling more with less, what are you usually seeing in their sales and marketing processes?
They have written and defined sales processes, and it's not rocket science. It's nothing new. They have something that's defined and written and everybody understands and follows.
Why do you think so many dealerships don't have a defined or written process in place?
That's a great question. My answer would be, I don't know why, because they've all heard it before. They all know that it needs to be done. Part of it is things get lost in translation as turnover happens. We're not special in the power sports, trailer, automotive, everything's the same. Turnover is a thing. It's a reality. And as turnover happens, you tend to lose some of the processes. You tend to lose some of the continuity and the structure that you've had in the dealership. That's why it's important to have those written processes, have somebody that can be a champion of that and can institute those no matter how much turnover you have, because it's going to happen.
How important is it to have a written process versus just a shared understanding among the team?
So you remember when we were kids, you played the telephone game, right? Where you started off with one kid at the front and you told them one thing. And by the time it got to the 10th or 12th kid, it was a completely different story. It was a completely different word. It's the same thing with a process. If you say, hey, let's just talk about this, and it's a theory, you're going to have 10 different versions of a sales process, and the customer is going to get confused. I mean, God forbid you have to say, let's hand this off from one salesperson to the other midstream, and you've got two different sales processes. Then what? Customer's confused. You don't know where you're at. Not to mention, how do we hold salespeople accountable as a management team if we don't have a defined and written sales process? It's impossible.
How do you ensure that everyone from sales through service actually follows the process that's put in place day to day?
You have to have a champion, and it starts with leadership. So if you have a general manager or a general sales manager, it starts with them defining that, setting clear expectations amongst your management team, and then it flows down. But you have to have those champions in place, starting with leadership. From there, it's ensuring that you have champions on the sales team. Who are they? Who's going to help reinforce those, train those, teach those to the new people that are coming in and help reinforce those processes?
So how can a GM or a department lead identify and empower those champions?
Hire the right people. I mean, it's easier said than done, right? But it's making sure that you have the right people in place that understand, have the same vision that you do. We're all working towards the same goal, but it really starts with people, making sure you have the right people in the right places. You know, a lot of times we make that mistake of, hey, this guy's been with me, or this girl's been with me for 10 years. I'm going to promote them to a management position because they were the best salesperson. Well, the best salesperson doesn't always make the best manager. They tend to not have the same vision. It's, I'm going to push a lot of metal, I'm going to sell a lot, but they may not have the same vision and they are terrible managers. I've seen it happen in the past several times. I've made that mistake myself. I'm not special, but having the right people in the right places is critical.
And when it comes to having the right people in the right places, how often do you then train those people, revisit the sales and marketing process?
Daily. That has to happen daily. So a best practice that in my automotive career, in between selling and moving up to management, I had the opportunity to work for a large dealer group in the training department. And we trained in store daily, not just new hires, but it was also reinforcing processes, reinforcing best practices on a daily basis. And then training the managers to be able to do that when you're not in that store. With a big dealer group, you don't get to see those people but every couple of weeks. So it's important for the managers to go out and do a lot walk. I don't care if your shift ended at, you know, 6 o'clock the night before and you were the last people in the store, nothing happened in the morning. Go out and walk the lot. Maybe there's trash on the lot. Maybe things are out of place. Maybe you need to reorganize things. Get refamiliar with the inventory. Going out and doing that, and then going in and having some type of training. It doesn't have to be long. 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Have the salespeople, your champions or your top salespeople in the dealership, have them conduct the training one day. On a daily basis, revisiting that is critical. I go back to one of the greatest and most inspiring people that I'm a sports nut and have been my entire life. So one of the most inspiring people that I was able to actually meet and watch was Tony Gwynn. Played for the San Diego Padres, one of the greatest, if not the greatest hitter of all time. Getting goosebumps talking about him. One of the is the in my opinion is the greatest hitter of all time. I got the opportunity to meet him as he was warming up before a game, and he was hitting balls off a tee. And I'm like, man, that seems kind of, rudimentary. It seems like real easy. And why is he hitting off a tee? And we went over and, he stopped what he was doing. I got introduced to him and we having this conversation. And I had the opportunity to ask him, like, you're over here hitting off a tee. How come you're not in the cage? And he said, I have a process that I followed from when I was little through high school, through college, into the pros, and into my major league career. And it's not changing that process and doing the same thing every time. So he starts off a tee, then he does soft toss, then he gets in the cage, and then he comes back to the tee to finish it off. So it's doing that repetition, having a set process, and not deviating from that that led to his success. So I tried to emulate that in my career. Like, if we have the same process, how can we fail, right? We're going to fail and there's going to be hiccups because people are people and they don't want to follow processes. But making sure that we have that solidified process in place is going to eliminate 90% of the error. Tony Gwynn's awesome. That guy was, it's sad to see him gone, but he inspired so many people that not just what he did on the field, but off the field. He's just a inspiring person for sure.
Tell us about how you know if training is actually changing behavior.
You'll see it in your KPIs. If you have not just set processes, because that's just one aspect of this, but identifying the right KPIs, how many fresh ups in the day, how many leads, what's your conversion rates, all of those things. As long as you have the right KPIs in place, you'll know if training's working. One team might be excelling over the other. Okay, where are they falling down? Is it getting them, converting them from, sitting on a bike or presenting a trailer or whatever that is? Are they getting them from there to a write-up? If they're not, okay, there's a process breakdown. Let's identify what that is. That's one of the KPIs, but having the right KPIs and the right amount in place will help you identify that.
What are one or two sales activities that deliver the most return on investment right now? What are a few quick wins for dealers?
This is easy and it's nothing, again, it's not rocket science. It's consistency in both your in-person online sales process and in your follow-up process. You have to have consistency in both of those. Those will help you get quick wins. It's not, hey, institute AI. Wow, that's the bright, shiny ball right now, and everybody wants AI in there, and you should. I mean, we need to embrace technology. Don't get me wrong, but consistency in your processes will lead to quick wins.
On the flip side, what are some common activities that might drain time or money without any return?
It's allowing, as a manager or as a management team, it's allowing our salespeople or service or fill in the blank, it's allowing them to deviate from those processes. It will derail, and all of a sudden, one person's doing it. Oh, I'm going to do it that way because that's an easier, it's a shortcut to get me around that. Not putting the right information into the CRM. We see that on a daily basis. It's copy and paste, and you start seeing the same note with every customer. Come on. I mean, you can identify those pretty quickly, but that's just a few.
Maybe initially easier, but in the long run, it sounds like it causes more problems.
Well, it's causing more problems, but it's also identifying this as a management team. What does each customer cost me when they come through the dealership? Like, what's my marketing spend? What am I spending on technology, on personnel? Like, what does each customer truly cost me when they walk through the door? And if you look at it in that regard, I was taught that early on in this dealer group. When you look at it that way, you see, okay, automatically, and I'm just throwing numbers out, a customer walks in the door, it's costing me $400. So if I don't have a consistent process and I'm not doing things correctly, I just lit $400 on fire. I mean, it just walked out the door they're not going to stay. You're not consistent in that. You're lighting $400 on fire, literally.
That puts it in perspective. So every dealer says they have a CRM, but how do you know if it's actually being used?
So we talked about training and doing training daily. And you need to inspect this as a leadership team, as a general manager, general sales manager. You need to be eyes on that at all times, at a higher level, obviously, but being able to identify misses, you're going to be looking at KPIs, but your leaders, your sales managers have to be looking at that CRM daily. Sit down with the salespeople on a daily basis. I know that's an arduous task, and sales managers don't want to do it. They just, hey, go do your follow-up. It's easy to go send them, go upstairs in the bullpen and, do your follow-up, make your follow-up calls, get a hold of your customers. Let's get some people in here. Great. But what are they doing up there? I mean, I call it death scrolling because it's going to be the death of us, but it's doom scrolling, I guess my kids call it. They're looking at TikTok, they're looking at YouTube, they're looking at all these videos. They're not making their follow-up calls. They're copy and pasting the notes and putting them in there. Oh yeah, I called everybody, and then they get out on the lot again. And it's sit down as a manager with each of your salespeople daily. Go through their leads with them, go through the customers with them, make sure that make the phone calls for them. Show them how that's where the training can extend beyond just a classroom setting. A lot of times salespeople don't know how. Teach them. You're in that position for a reason. Make the call. Talk to the customer. Don't be afraid to do that and sit down with them on a daily basis.
What are some telltale signs that a dealership's CRM process might be broken or incomplete?
You'll find it pretty quick. You're going to start missing all your KPIs. You're not going to hit your revenue goals. You're not going to be selling as many units as you want to sell. I mean, you can identify that pretty quickly. The key is how quickly can we use the term all the time, fail fast and pivot quickly. If you see some issues, sit down as a management team. Why are we having issues with this? It's not good enough just to say, okay, sales managers, sit down with your salespeople on a daily basis and meet with them. General manager or general sales manager, you should be sitting down with your sales managers on a daily basis. Hey, this is what happened yesterday. This is what happened last week. Where are we at? Are we tracking goal? Are we not tracking goal? Here's some things that I'm noticing. Like you have to have constant communication about those things. And hey, general manager, general sales manager, you're not absolved from that. Get out there and make calls with them. Get out there and talk to the customers. Let them know that you're there. It's very meaningful and impactful to a customer when that person comes out and introduces themselves, has that conversation with them. How can I help you? You're part of the family. Don't be afraid to do that. I mean, we hear all the time, as if in the power sports industry, especially in my days at Harley-Davidson, we don't want to be automotive. I'm not asking you to. Automotive doesn't have it right. I mean, in the automotive industry, you start looking at it as it's paint, metal, and glass. It's a means to an end. People have to drive a car to get around. You have to have, unless you live downtown New York City and you take the subway everywhere, you have to have a car. Power sports is different, right? It's a want, not a need. In some cases, you could argue it's a need, but it's a want. So creating, good processes, both in store and online, making sure that translate to people coming into your store. We want people coming into your store. We have all these tools that can help push and facilitate the sales process online, but eventually we want them in your store because we are unique. We are mom and pops. We do have a story. Tell your story. Get them in there and make them feel part of the family. And part of that is introducing them to everybody at the dealership. If the owner or the dealer principal is there and they run the store and they're the general manager, come out. I've seen it happen hundreds of times. Don't hide behind the curtain like the Wizard of Oz and be afraid to come out. Like, let them know who you are.
How detailed do CRM processes really need to be to drive results?
Very extremely, just like your sales process. If the more definition you can have around it, the less deviation you're going to have. If you're leaving it to, here's another reference, one of my favorite series, Pirates of the Caribbean. If you're leaving it to guidelines, you're going to get guidelines and you're going to get deviation in all of that. The more defined, the better off you're going to be. I'm not telling you to have thousands of KPIs. That's not the right answer. Have defined processes. Make sure that it's written out, defined, and you have the right KPIs and the right amount. And you have to define that.
And speaking of KPIs, a segue as well into our next question. What should managers be looking for on their CRM dashboards each week?
So that's unique to each dealership. I mean, we've found that out. I know this coming from running a dealership. What's good for me is not good for my neighbor, right? What's good for one dealership is not good for the other. So you really have to define that. What do you want to measure? What does good look like at your dealership? But it's once you've defined that, once you look at that and say, hey, these are the KPIs that I want to measure. Is it enough? Is it getting you the detail that you want on a daily basis? Is it telling the story so that at a high level, a general manager coming in looking at that, to paint the picture that I need to be able to give me the detail that I need so I can pivot, make improvements in areas where we're failing.
So it sounds like the data you have in your CRM is only as good as the people who are entering it, maybe only as good as the training you have for those people as well. How can leaders build a culture that values accurate data entry?
Again, this goes back to what I said previously. Sit down with your salespeople on a daily basis and show them how to do that. Show them what your expectations are and what good looks like, and that will foster. I mean, how long does it take to form a habit? I mean, that's debatable all over the place, but the more that you do that with your salespeople, the less you're going to have to manage that, and they're going to start that repetition and doing it on their own. That will organically happen, right? You'll get better and copious notes if you're sitting down and showing them, this is what my expectation is. You should be able to go into any account, any customer record in the CRM, and know from a management level exactly where you're at with that customer and what the next steps are. If you can't identify that, you have a process breakdown.
Let's move on to website call to actions. I know you've got some thoughts here. So when you look at a dealership website, what are some of the first signs that the calls to action are working or not working?
Yeah, that's kind of a tricky conversation, tricky question. It looks like a bowl of spaghetti in a lot of instances. Like it's all over the place. When I visit websites, and I'm by no means are we, website provider, are we trying to take over your website? Not at all. But as a consumer and looking at it from that lens, when you go into a website, you have to look at it and say, what are we actually asking the customer to do? What do we want them to do? A lot of times we have chat pop up. Hey, I can help you. What happens? I'll ask you. When you see a chat window pop up, what's your first reaction?
I close it.
Yeah, exactly my point, right? So chat goes down and it's like, I don't want to talk to you yet because I'm not ready to. Maybe eventually, but I do the same thing. What are we asking the customer to do when they visit your website? They hit your homepage. From there, when you go into each VDP page, each individual unit, what are you asking them to do there? I've seen 10 call to actions. Some of them are duplicates. Yeah, we want everybody to fill out a credit application, but when they click on that, is it keeping them on that page or is it taking them to a different web browser? Typically, what happens is another window pops up. You've got to fill out that application and then it's a dead end and it says somebody will contact you soon. If I have to close 15 windows to get back, I'm like, man, it's cumbersome, right? So it's identifying, just asking the question, what action, what do I want the customer to do? How can I help them get there?
That's a great point of clarity. What metrics matter the most when you're evaluating your call to action performance?
Time on pages, time on site. Like, are they abandoning quickly? Are they staying on the site? Which pages are they gravitating to? Which call to actions are they actually clicking on? I mean, if you start looking at the metrics behind the scene, I mean, are they really clicking on all of those? Are all of them active? It's also inspecting those call to actions and saying, hey, let me click on these myself. Because a lot of times, I mean, it's technology, it's going to break. It happens. One day, my microphone didn't work, my speakers weren't working. I mean, we had all kinds of issues. AWS went down, all hell broke loose. I mean, the world was shutting down, right? But it's go in there and click on those call to actions because sometimes the links get broken and we don't know until a customer actually says so, and they may not tell you. So go in there and inspect that on a daily, weekly basis. Make sure somebody's monitoring that. Make sure that's getting them to the right place and allowing them to do the steps that you want them to do and the actions that you're wanting them to take.
How can a dealer figure out what the right number of call to actions for their site is?
Again, this goes back to what's good for me is not good for my neighbor, right? It's again asking that question, what do I want the customer to do? What step in the process do I want to help lead them towards to help further the sale? How can I help them accomplish what they're trying to do online? A lot of dealers, push back on this and say, I'm not going to show price. I'm not going to show payments. You're kidding yourself if they don't have three different browsers open, looking at a different dealer to get price because they want the unit that you have, but they want to figure out what's the price on that. And then they have a payment calculator opened up somehow, trying to figure out what their credit is or what their payment's going to be. I need to get pre-qualified at my bank because if you hit a lot of the pre-quals on these websites, dealer websites, it's a dead-end lead. You fill out all this information, it says somebody will get back to you shortly versus, hey, I have a tool and it pops up and says, here's what your credit score is. And it allows you to shop within that credit score. So you're now not selecting if I'm B credit tier, but I've selected A, it's going to default to the B credit tier and allow you to shop within those means. So you're not hit with, oh, the payment's $100 more than I thought it was going to be when you go to the dealership. Allow them to take action, meaningful action on your website. 100%. The more educated a customer is when they come in, the easier the sale is going to be. You know, we have people that are reluctant to put F&I products on their website and prices for those F&I products. You put those on all day long. How many times do they need to say no before they say yes? Get them early exposure to those things. You know, this is one step further and it's going down a rabbit hole, but have your finance manager record a video and say, hey, great selection. I'm glad you clicked on this. Here's what this is. Here's the benefits it's going to provide. And here's why a lot of customers choose to go down this road. We can customize that for you when the time is right. Get early exposure to those things. And this is what I talk about, meaningful call to actions, meaningful things on the website and allowing them to shop. Get them exposure to those things because they'll say yes a lot quicker when they're in the dealership.
If you had to pick one or two types of call to action to prioritize, which one would you focus on first?
And again, this is what's good for me isn't good for my neighbor type of thing. But I mean, if you're asking me personally, a couple of things that I would want on my site, and this is where you have to analyze your call to actions and the metrics behind them. Are the customers clicking on them? Which ones are they clicking on? To me, it's what's the highest volume? And those would be the two that I would put on there. I don't care if it's text, trade, pre-qual, credit application. I don't care what it is. Look at the metrics behind those, and those are the call to actions you want on there. If you're getting little to no volume on one of the CTAs, get rid of it.
So, last question here. If a dealer listening to this wanted to sell more with less starting tomorrow, what's a quick win that they could implement in sales, in their CRM, or in their website strategy?
Call me. Just kidding. That's one way. I mean, we can help. It goes back to what we talked about at the first of this podcast. If you don't have a written process, go do it. Enlist somebody to do it. It doesn't have to be you. If you hate doing that type of stuff, enlist a champion at your dealership and go through it with them. Get it written down. Make sure that you're implementing that on a daily basis. I mean, inspect what you expect. If you're not doing that on a daily basis, you're failing. If you're doing it on a weekly basis, you've lost because somebody down the road will figure it out. There are big dealer groups that have it pretty good, but they still don't inspect it on a daily basis. That is the key. It's work. Sales is work. Running a dealership is work. It's not easy. If it was, everybody'd be doing it. Make sure you have those written processes. It's not just me. Look at Tony Gwynn. Every day, same routine. Implemented it from when he was little throughout his career, and he was the greatest hitter of all time. We can be the greatest dealership of all time that people love and gravitate to. You have to have consistency. You have to have written processes.
Well, thank you so much to our guests for joining us today, and a huge thank you to our listeners for tuning in. I hope you found today's conversation insightful and inspiring. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with others in the power sports industry. We're excited to see you at the next one.